Podcast. In conversation with musicians from the UK jazz scene. And now your hosts, Rob Cope and Dan Farrant.
Hello and welcome to episode 98 of the Jazz Podcast with me, your host, Rob Cope, and Dan Farrant. How are you doing, Dan?
Doing all right, thanks, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I'm a little tired after last night. I won't lie to you. We had the premiere of the London premiere of Richard Turner and Life in Music, the film, of which you very kindly attended, of course.
It was a great night. Good work for putting it on.
Thanks, lads. Tell me what you thought then.
Oh, like of the film?
Just of the evening. Let's talk. Maybe we'll do the film afterwards. We'll talk. Yeah. Tom Corley's going to come on. We'll have a little talk about his new album, and then let's come back to this.
Okay.
But tell me quickly what you thought about the evening.
Oh, well, the evening was great. It was all lovely people in a room, and we watched a great film of a great guy. And then had drinks and just shared stories and caught up. It was great. Good evening.
Oh, yeah, it was. I loved it. It was at the college that you and I studied, so it was quite a nice little homecoming, wasn't
good
it?
Good reminiscence, wow. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good to be back in the Academy bar.
Yeah. Although Pat's not there anymore.
No. I don't. Sad I wonder, times. Do you know when Pat left?
I don't. We'll have to find out.
You know, I'd love to have Pat on the Jazz Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We made a lot of verbal agreements last night. So the next 6 months of shows are going to be sponsored.
Oh, yeah. We lined up quite a few interviews as well.
Exactly. So you should, keep a lookout for Callum Gourlay any minute now.
He's coming right in.
That'll be, yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. He's coming right in. So, Dan, let's talk to Tom Corley. Let's preview his new album.
Do it.
Loughrane to Bierman. Back to Loughrane. Malarkey on the wing. Takes it past one. Goes past another. To Higginbottom. Unbelievable. He's through. He crosses it. Corley. Corley's open. Oh! Oh, it's in! Corley wins it for Tottenham. The Champions League final. Tom Corley scored on his debut. What an unbelievable moment. It's pandemonium. The stadium is exploding before my very eyes. Tom's in tears. This is incredible. I've never seen anything like this in all my years of making a jazz podcast.
Amazing. So,
yeah, what do you think? Some of my best work.
So you say that goes on for 5 minutes?
Oh, no, the rest of it was... I wish. I might start doing that, like putting crowd noise on YouTube and just commentating to myself, for myself, for no other reason.
Well, there are commentators, foreign commentators in history, mainly South Americans, who would go on for 5 minutes.
Mm.
But yeah, no, that's lovely, Rob, I'm touched. Just how I imagine it. Of course I imagine everyone has positions.
Yes, yes. Well, when I saw the album cover, obviously that was where my mind went straight away.
Yeah. I mean, the album's football themed.
Yes.
For sure.
Tell us about it then.
Well, it's a new... I mean, it's my first new album for maybe nearly 10 years. Maybe not quite that long, but it's certainly quite a long time. It's all the theme for all the song titles, they're all football related. I love football, Rob.
Yeah, I know that feeling, especially in Champions League right now. It's a good time.
Well, yeah, and your thing talks about Tottenham, which is certainly a team that I support, but my main team is Lincoln City.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah, but hence the strip. We're all in Lincoln Strip on the front of the
album. Oh, wow. I wasn't sure if that was just an artistic vibe or if it was totally...
Well, I mean, I'd like to think it's both.
No, it is. It's a brilliant cover. The whole artwork. I've done that and had a proper look through that album, and it's an absolute beauty. She's done an amazing job.
She's done a good job. And my daughter, Greta, did all the inside the album, which everyone must buy the physical copy of.
You have to for this artwork because it is absolutely stunning.
It sort of it folds out, and there are kind of caricatures or cartoons of the five members of the band.
Yeah,
done by my daughter on with sort of computer art, and it's much better than that makes it sound.
No, it is. I can vouch for that. It's remarkable. The whole album has so much character. You know, it's so fun to just.
So we've got Rob Malarkey in goal. I mean, this team. Yeah. Sadly, this team will never play. but I think the way it would line up if it did would be we'd have Rob would be in goal.
Mm-hmm.
I think
he's even in the
Gareth
keeping.
I'd be basically defensive midfielder in my own team. I think
sort
of holding midfielder, the regista, if you like.
Yeah.
And Gareth would be the number 10.
Yeah.
Just doing what he wanted.
I think that.
Chris has kind of got energy, fitness. He'd probably be the workhorse.
Yeah.
And Feeney would just be indulged. She'd be Gary Lineker, wouldn't she? She'd be like the goal hanger. Although I doubt she'd have quite the stats that Gary managed to rack up.
I see. A kind of a Javier Hernandez style.
Yeah,
she's not going to score outside the box.
She's not going to score within the box either, I fear. But that's where we'd play her.
Oh, it's great. So, so what inspired you after such a long break to come back and to do this as your next album?
I guess I was just writing some music, and actually, it was Feeney was saying, you know, it's about time you put an album out. And I was kind of like, yeah, I know, I need to do something different this time, because I was writing all this stuff for with keyboards and kind of with a different sound. And she just said, just get all your favourite players, put them all in a band and write some music for them. I'm really sorry. Feeney herself there just came into the room and actively did something to try and put me off.
Oh, well, she's welcome to Finney Beerman, but just in case any of our listeners are confused right now, of you know, that she's the one you are speaking of.
Yes, the singer on the album. Yeah. She's gone now. She's had her little mention. She's gone.
Of course.
But yeah, she certainly came in and did something quite aggressive in order to make me laugh.
Oh, good.
And I have to say she succeeded. Now then, yes, what was I going to say? Yeah, so basically I was writing all this music and saying, yeah, it's a different sound to my band, you know, my trio.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a different kind of thing and I'd want to do this. And she said, oh, get all your favourite players.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's a great idea, isn't it? It's simpler than any idea I have myself. Yeah, so Chris Higginbottom, he's like, I was at college with him.
Yeah.
And we used to play together all the time. We were very much into the same stuff. He went to America for a while and he came back and I started playing with him again. And I just love him. He has this, we have this great kind of shared sort of what, I don't know what you would call hookup or something. He's just great to improvise with.
Yeah.
Rob Malarkey, I mean, I've known them all for forever, actually. Rob Malarkey, we're the same age. He was at Guildhall when I was at the Academy.
Yeah.
We used to play in the 90s. He's unbelievable. And Gareth Loughrane, obviously, is a genius. And he was in my class at college. So these are all just people I've known and played with for at least 20, so maybe 25 years or something.
Yeah.
I was just, yes, I'll do it. And I was writing these tunes and sort of singing them and thinking, you know what, this might be better served than just played by a flute.
Mm.
I hope Gareth wouldn't mind me saying that. And was just like, Feeney, you should sing these. And so she started singing them and it just sounded great. And I love the sound of someone singing something. It kind of gives it more emotional connection somehow.
Yeah.
And she just plays the tune and then backs away and leaves Gareth to it.
Yeah.
that's kind of it. But yeah, that's how it came about. And all the titles are to do with football. They're all just great words that I enjoy from the world of football, like Zona Mista and, yeah, Regista, Rabona.
Mm-hmm.
The album's called
It's a, like a fun little quiz to see if you know right. what these are.
Good, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Why don't you... Why don't we give a copy to someone who can answer back successfully what they all mean?
Oh, I love that. That is a brilliant idea. It's been a while since we've had a jazz podcast competition.
There we go. Well, whoever can supply 8 explanations of the titles which best satisfies me.
Yeah, on a subjective level.
It would have to... In order to get through the first round, they would have to be factually correct.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, sure. Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay, so then do we need to wait for the whole album to come out and then revisit this competition? Or
it's difficult,
we're going to do it verbally right now?
I mean, what I've done there is I've come up with an idea without thinking at all about the practical element, I suppose. Okay, well, the first track... In fact, the single that's out today,
love this,
is called "The Ungainlies." Excellent. And that no one will get what that is, but that's a way that Feeney referred to football fans once.
Awesome.
Which, yeah, we went to a match, and she said, "Oh, will I have to mix with the ungainlies?" She said,
"Yeah,
it's unfortunate. I'd like to think she was joking, because, as we all know, this is not the late 1980s anymore."
Sure, but we don't know for sure, you know.
It's a cultured bunch that go to Lincoln matches, I'll tell you that.
And that single's available now on Spotify and
all good digital platforms,
Apple,
I guess.
Music, yeah.
I don't know about Apple. I would like to think so.
Yeah.
Let's say Spotify. I know, I don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's on Deezer. It's on The Orchard. They're the distributors.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay. and it's basically, it's melodic fusion jazz music. I think it's hopefully that kind of fusion that is fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Rather than that kind of fusion that makes you feel a little bit edgy.
Yeah, fusion's a tough word now, isn't it?
it is, yeah.
Because a lot of people have, you know, pre-associated ideas with what that might mean. All right, tell us then what the album, because I foolishly talked over you. The album name is what?
Catenaccio.
Okay, great. But you obviously, rather than telling us all what that means, that has to go in the pot of...
I can tell. I reckon I... Well, yeah, okay, great. I mean, it's a yeah.
I know that. I know that one.
Halfway through a sentence there. You know Catenaccio, do you?
Yes.
Excellent.
And then okay, what are the other track names? Do you have them to hand?
I'd like to think I can remember them.
All right, give it a go.
So track 2 is called Jabulani.
Yeah.
And then...
I know that. This is really great.
Oh, great. Good for you, Rob. You could be in the running for the prize.
I'm going to text you the answers.
Okay, well, number 3 is Nutmeg.
Yeah.
Gosh, what's next? Perhaps that's Zona Mista. And then there's one called Regista,
mm-hmm.
one called Rabona, one called Rose Z.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah, that's quite Lincoln-y.
Yeah, do you ever remember that Peter Kay advert?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yep.
gosh, what else is there? You can cut out my wondering, can't you?
You would think that I would do.
I forgot who I'm talking to. I've listened to this podcast. You don't care. You just want time spent, don't you?
I don't care about anything.
It's quantity over quality. You're northern. That's the thing, isn't it?
Do you know what?
It's like that's why you have haddock instead of cod.
Yeah, that's entirely what it is. Like, in order to be like the numbers for this show are really high, and that's not because it's good. That's because there's so damn many of them. I will never go away.
Yeah, good. Crikey, I'm trying to think of... Oh, look, crikey.
That's
a good
start. I mean, there's 3 really hard ones in there. Zona Mista, Regista and Rabona.
Yeah. I think Rabona's kind of gone into... into common parlance a bit, hasn't it?
Interesting. I don't know that one.
Ah.
Mm. I know.
Well, Maradona used to do it in the 80s.
Ah.
Let me think. It's sort of very much the sort of, oh, I can't think of the word. It doesn't matter. It sort of implies one-footedness.
Okay. Well,
there's one called, I can't remember. I can only remember how it goes. That's no use, is it?
You can sing us the melody.
But, yeah.
Well, we have a Jazz Podcast Twitter and a Jazz Podcast email address. And Tom, you can be found on all kinds of social media channels as well.
I can. I've just returned to it. I sort of didn't go on Twitter for about a year. Mm-hmm. Not for any reason other than that I forgot my password.
Yeah. That's a tough.
And then I had it pointed out to me that you can just change your password. So I'm back.
He's back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I'll send you the list.
So how long did it take to record all of these tracks?
Oh, just two days.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mainly live. There's I've sneaked a couple of extra synthesizers.
Yeah.
On afterwards.
Right. Where did you record it?
Fish Factory, Northwest London.
Oh, yeah, I love that place.
Yeah, it's a great space. Mm. Drums sound amazing in there. So that's kind of why we went.
They have a grand piano, of course, as well, don't they?
They do, but there's no piano on this album. It's all synths.
Wow. What made you decide then to down that?
I kind of started accumulating. So I've always liked them.
Yeah.
And at one point I was sort of married and
yeah.
It wasn't very good. But then it stopped being the case that I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved somewhere else and started filling it up with synthesizers in the absence of love.
I see.
Or children.
Yeah.
Have
you named these synthesizers?
That was I haven't named them, no.
Okay.
Because I'm an adult.
Yeah, fair play.
Man. Yeah. So I just started doing lots of synth programming. By the way, that all that stuff about children and stuff was meant to be a joke.
Yes, of course.
I started writing music on them and started recording like more electronic music, and then just wanted to do an album with these sounds.
How many synths
are there?
I mean,
it's pretty conventional. You know? There are quite a few. Yeah, a handful.
Nice.
I was lent a couple as well by Phil Peskett. He lent me a couple of very filigree synthesizers, a Sem, an Oberheim Sem Pro, which is all over the album now.
Right.
And a Prophet 12 as well. But there's all sorts of stuff on it.
I don't really know if this is even an intelligent question, but are these all like analog synths or are they digital?
Yeah, mainly. No, they're mainly analog synths. Yeah,
right.
There's a little bit of, I mean, there's almost no point. You knew asking, didn't you? There's almost no point in me answering this. We're whittling down an already small audience to a tiny number.
Last person standing.
Yeah, exactly. But the mainly analog. That's mainly the sound. I guess it's kind of zonally, like the soundscapes, like Weather Report esque.
Yeah.
But obviously, you haven't got Wayne Shorter and Joe Zawinul writing the music. You got me.
Mm.
So it's going to sound a bit different.
Yeah.
But I think it's joyful music, and I would recommend it.
Well, we're going to have a listen to the Ungainlies in a second, and this certainly is joyful. It's a beauty.
Oh, thank you. Enjoy Gareth Loughrane shredding as he does as he does throughout the whole album.
Yeah, is this an really alto flute that he's playing?
It is.
Mm, it is. I thought so.
Yeah,
you can just hear the top register. Yeah.
Less shrill, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a bit more palatable, just slightly more palatable. Yeah.
You got to watch out for Gareth because he will just. He's so versatile, you know. He can play
really fast on a variety of flutes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gareth. You know I love you really.
Killer review. Well, Tom, let's do it. Let's play the Ungainlies.
Just say one more thing. We have an album launch.
Oh my god, that's a massive detail to have missed.
It's a good one, isn't it?
Sorry.
Album launch gig.
Yeah.
Late night special at Ronnie Scott's.
Yes, so like a midnight party.
Midnight special.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the 9th of May, Thursday the 9th of May. midnight, or technically Friday, the 10th of May. It's actually, I realise now, difficult to even say what day it's on.
Yeah, that's...
But it's the midnight that follows the evening.
Yeah, so
you should
leave the house on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Set off on Thursday. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Oh, that's the best marketing ever. To come to this gig, you will need to set off on Thursday.
We're taking care of everyone there.
That's just brilliant. Wow, what a pleasure it's been, Tom, to have you back on the Jazz
thank
podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All right, here it comes. The Ungainlies. So, Dan, we're back. Let's talk about. Hey, have you got an Amazon Kindle?
I do have a Kindle, yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm getting one today, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, right. So yeah, they're great.
Yeah, what can I look forward to then? Tell me everything.
Well,
which one do you have?
Oh, I don't know. I've got the basic one.
Okay.
Paper white.
That's the one I'm getting. That's the mid-range, Dan.
Oh, that's yeah. I haven't got anything fancy. Okay. Lydia's got one that is more like an iPad.
Oh yeah, I know that. That looks really powerful. I forget the name of it now, but
no idea.
You and I are simple folk, hey?
Yep. No, it was great last night though, Rob.
Mm.
If anyone hasn't seen the film yet, where can they see it if they haven't seen it yet? Are you going to like put it online?
But we've got a few jazz festivals booked to show the film throughout the year.
Great.
So actually not going to put it online just yet. I don't think it's fair to the festivals if I put it up now. Yeah. But it certainly will go up at least at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, in the meantime, I'd love to organise another London screening because there's another one in Leeds. There's one in Cambridge. The Leeds one is Leeds Jazz Festival on the 15th of July. Mm. Another London one would be great. Then put it online. And I might even try and make like a 25-minute super edited slimline version. For a wider audience. I sent it to the British Amateur Film Institute and they sent me some feedback saying they'd love to see it like really short, you know.
Refined a bit.
Exactly. Yeah. They said they'd awarded it a 4th star if I resubmit it at 25 minutes. And then it's much more likely to get screened at a festival if it's shorter.
Yeah.
It doesn't take up so much.
Not so much of an investment.
Yeah. Time. So, and then also there's of course been a lot of, request for a director's cut edition.
Well, yeah, I heard there were some stories that were a little bit risque. Well,
a little spicy.
Yeah, a little spicy. I'd love to hear some of those as well.
A lot of those stories, though, people would say, like, okay, Rob, just shut the camera off for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't even really have anything particularly.
It's for the best. Those are stories for the bar, aren't they?
Exactly. Stories that carry such weight that the mic completely is switched off. So
yeah.
Also, there's a film festival in Copenhagen called Dock and Roll Festival. Has to be a documentary about music.
Yeah.
So I submitted for that. That'd be interesting.
Right.
But you know, I was looking on the British Film Institute, like amateur filmmaking website, there's a list of budgets for the entry tier that you go into, and low budget is under £1 million.
Really?
I know.
That's low budget.
What's the one called? Like really micro budget. That's it. Micro budget was under £100,000. And then no budget films are under 10,000. So
were you like negative budget?
Exactly. I've spent £3,000 on it. So put it all together for that is really not bad going. And you know, if I made another film now, the cost would be next to nothing because I've got all
you've
the
got equipment. Gear.
Exactly. So pretty pleased with it, to be honest. So yeah, in answer to your question, which I could have just answered like a normal person, if you're desperate to see it, I will just send you a copy, but I'm not going to post it publicly until
the
end of the year.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to meet Richard's mum last night as well.
Oh, yeah.
She apparently listens to the jazz podcast.
Yes, I have known that for a long
time. Shout out Richard Turner's mum, Christine.
Yeah, nice Christine.
She was great.
A stunning...
Dave's got to do the dishes, I've got to tell him. They listen while they're doing the kitchen. Get back to the dishes, Dave.
Brilliant. Yeah, she's a remarkable person, and to have her have a starring role in the film is a real
treat. Yeah, it was great. Because
When I started, I didn't have anything. Obviously, nothing was planned.
Yeah.
So the way it's turned out is it's kind of amazing, really.
I thought you got a really good mix of stories. Like some, it was really moving, and then absolutely hilarious.
Thanks again.
You got a right you kind of brought the relief at the right points, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I feel really lucky because I genuinely don't know how much of that was just an accident or how much was. I mean, I have watched it a lot of times and tried to feel that flow, the momentum, and the way I'd like wrote it out like a book,
you know,
big fat Word document, and read it to make sure that it made sense.
Mm.
But sometimes, you know, when like it really only Martin Hummel had seen it, like actually finished, and he watched it quite a few times, and I would change it, and then he'd watch it again just to get an outside, a completely outside perspective. And then when we watched it, like with an audience, it's like a living beast. It's completely changes, and people laugh at different bits to what I thought they would, and I laugh at bits that nobody else thinks is funny. And you know, I think it's just you know, we're like, there's no test screenings or anything. We just went for it. So, I'm really lucky that you're right. That like it felt. Even I agree, it felt like quite well paced. There's some very funny stories in there as well.
Mm. Yeah, and inspiring as well. And just, it was a great mixture of everything.
Yeah.
Go out and see it if you haven't seen it already.
Yeah. If it's
go to Leeds. 15th of July.
Yeah.
Is that the right date?
Yeah, that's the one. Well done. Yeah. And then later on in the year at Cambridge Jazz Festival. But we'll get into that nearer the time.
Nearer the time. Are we still going to be going by then? That's a while away.
I reckon so, Dan.
No.
I know. I don't think there's any way out of this for you, to be honest.
Well, like we had 2 weeks since the last episode. I thought we might have, that might be it, but.
Sometimes I think that, like, if we stop for a month, it might just never get started.
Just fizzle out.
Yeah. But we're still here. So.
Still here.
Yeah.
Tom Corley back on, though, eh? Second.
Time. That's either means Tom's, you know, created sort of an incredibly important part of the scene, or that we're just.
We're desperate.
Basically going round again. Absolutely. Let's have a look.
He was. I mean, because we're recording this, I haven't heard the episode yet.
I'm actually.
Was he as enthusiastic as. Oh, you haven't recorded it?
No, so I'm going to say yes, he was as enthusiastic.
As the last time.
The last time, I hadn't listened back to it for ages and someone told me
the other day. Just talk about Lincoln forever.
That's it, that there's like a 5-minute segment where my wife Claire is on the phone to Tom talking about the places in Lincoln that they know about.
Good times.
31st of March, 2017. It was over 2 years ago, that show.
Oh, crap.
That's terrifying. That's how much...
Isn't it just
cultural? Let's see here. Which episode? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's episode 11 and he's episode 98. 11. Wow.
Right. Okay.
Trish Clues has been on twice. Rob Luft has been on twice. So it's not the first, you know, to go. Even the film preview, speaking about that again, that was May the 8th, 2017.
Yeah.
The episode we made. We sit down for a chat about the jazz film.
Oh, we filmed it as well, didn't we?
If you search on YouTube, it's very easily found. I might start making a few more jazz podcast video episodes now that film is out the way.
Vodcasts.
Yeah, exactly. And then I just feel bad. It's so boring looking at like two people's faces for an hour, you know?
Oh, but, yeah. Especially our faces.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not bringing anything to the table at this point. You know, I'm already starting to wonder what age I should start using just for men. So,
yeah. I like that you said at this point as well, implying that not too long ago.
Exactly.
That would have been a different story.
It would have been. A year ago, the video podcasts, I look fantastic.
What happened? Making this film, was it that it?
Yeah, you know when you look at, I notice it loads with like Tony Blair, if you look at how he looked before.
Yeah, but he was involved, he was Prime Minister, it's a little different.
Yeah, you know, but it ages them so fast being a world leader. Yeah. You know, people always look like they've aged like 40 years in their 8 years of in office.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want that, obviously, you know. 10 years of the jazz podcast.
And oh, I will be aged.
Yeah.
I will have aged 50 years.
Yeah, it's a brutal job. So before we go, just let's go back to the Kindle, because that's really why.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's something people want to hear about, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think so. I think the tension surrounding the fact that the doorbell could go any minute is...
Is Gary to your Amazon delivery? No. Is he just Royal Mail?
You know what, Dan? I have a story for you now if you're going to play this game. I ordered something off Amazon on Boxing Day. A package you'll know to have been Battlefield 5.
Oh yeah, good purchase.
Yeah,
purchase.
And of course, like on Amazon, they used like whatever their own Amazon logistics or you know some other couriers, and it almost like maybe 50% of the time it just never shows up, whatever it is.
Really?
So this particular parcel, because it just never came.
Right.
I phone Amazon and I say, have you got any proof it was delivered? They're like, well, no, not really. So I bought it online, this game. And then Gary, on a Sunday afternoon, whilst walking his dog, the buzzer goes and I pick up the intercom and he goes, hey, Rob, it's Gary. And I'm like,
where's Rob from? I'm Gary from. So.
Gary sounds like he's from around here. He's got a lovely, beautiful voice. Which I can't do an impression of. I can
you just did. That's why I all asked.
Right. All right, he's like, Rob, you know, come and meet me in the airlock, you know, whatever you call it, that space where there's the lobby. That's the one.
that was a bit. You did a bit Nick Smart there.
Yeah, that's the only impression I can do. Hey, Rob, come and meet me in the lobby.
Michael Caine / Rob Nick Smart.
It? It's not my best work. Well, no, it is my best work. That's my problem. Anyway, so I was like really intrigued, like, oh my God, Gary, what's going on? Why are we meeting on a Sunday? You know? And he was off duty, but he found my parcel in another building three months late. Yeah. Crazy. It was opened, but he like salvaged it, brought it over, and I sold it to our friend Jake.
Oh, well, there you go.
I traded it for a breakfast.
That's a happy end to the story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, for everyone except Amazon.
For everyone except, exactly. So even the parcels he's not responsible for, Gary the Postman is stepping up.
Mm.
I'm going to play the Gary the Postman song.
And no, no, please don't.
There's nothing you can do to stop me.
I'm going to hang up. I apologise if he is about to play that. If he plays that, I have nothing to do with it.
What I don't understand is why I'm not getting more praise for it. I thought this was some fantastic work. I thought I was going to be in for a Grammy.
Oh,
best podcast jingle. Where's the... Oh, I don't know, Dan. You try and you try. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure, old chum.
Yes. Good work again.
You too. You too, buddy. See you next week for episode 99.
Oh, 99. Is it Callum coming on?
I hope so.
We booked him in.
Yeah, and maybe maybe Seamus Blake, maybe Gwilym Simcock. We're getting to that stage where a lot of the stragglers, you know.
Did you tell the listeners what happened with Gwilym?
Oh, well, I deleted his episode twice. Not even once, Dan. We then re-recorded it and I lost it a second time.
Oh, what a waste of Gwilym's time, Rob.
thanks for
I mean, he was already wasting his time by coming on.
But I know.
To then have the episode deleted twice.
That must have been one of the most annoying things he's ever had to deal with in his life. Like, the level of ineptitude that I provide, it's not great. So I'd got his interview. And then I'd shot for the film. John Askreet's footage was in New York. And I was being so careful with John's. And when I uploaded it into my laptop, it almost crashed the hard drive. The files were so big. I accidentally squeezed Gwilym out. and I only realized about a month later. I was terrified. So anyway, I offered Gwilym episode 100 as a peace offering.
I think you might have burnt that bridge though, Rob, don't you think?
Like, no, the thing about me is I'm just so incredibly lovable. It's not, you know.
Yeah,
that's how I perceive myself.
Anyway. Yeah, okay.
So.
Maybe if you do end up deleting Gwilym's episode for a third time, then we'll do you as episode 100.
I love that. I love that idea a lot. And when I delete it for a third time, Gwilym...
Please don't delete it again, though.
No, I won't. I have to do like two copies at once, you know.
Yeah.
Put one onto a external hard drive and
yeah.
Yeah.
send an email. So, yeah, and you're right. We need to have a contingency plan, because obviously there's some kind of curse. I don't know in any more detail than that, but something's not quite right, you know?
Yeah.
Tough. Well, there you go.
Mm.
It's been a pleasure.
Always.
See you on Friday.
See you next week.
It's Gary, the postman, bringing my mail to me. From the listener straight to the guest, in the heart of Sunbury. He wouldn't sell your mail or steal your identity. Oh, it's Gary, the postman, bringing my mail to me. From the listener straight to the guest, he's Sunbury celebrity.